The readings from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 12, and can be found on page 1217. Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you when they spoke of the things that they have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Brilliant. Thanks very much for that, Becca. Sorry, I forgot to hand out Bibles on the way, but I'm sure you could follow along listening to that. Well, as Peter writes to the church of his day, Peter's letter is addressed to Christians, God's elect, exiles scattered throughout the provinces of the known world of the day, those who are obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood. The people of God, Peter sees them as exiles wandering through the wilderness, a bit like the people of God after they'd come out of the kingdom of Egypt, the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of slavery, and they're being led towards the promised land, the kingdom that God would give them. And Peter sees Christians as on that sort of same path to an extent. We've been rescued from the dominion of darkness, and we are now in the kingdom of the Son, and yet we await the final fulfillment of that. That hope that Peter spoke of in those verses, that hope that is rooted in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, the inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, that is kept in heaven for us. That's the big picture that Peter wants his, those who are reading or listening to the letter, to keep in mind. And as we come to a meeting like this, as we review a year, which is a bit of an artificial exercise in some ways, that's the big picture that we want to keep in view as well. That as Christians, Jesus has rescued us and he is taking us home. And we are at the moment sort of walking, wandering along in between towards the heavenly city. Our future is safe. And yet Peter says here very realistically, doesn't he, that we will face trials. We came across this last term with the book of James as well. And if you're in one of the home groups doing the real change material, we face the heat. Some of the heat that we face in this life comes in the form of trials to us. But it is all in God's hands. And as Peter underlines here, it is ultimately all to his glory as well. That these things, as they work in us, may result in praise, glory, and honour when Jesus Christ is revealed. That's in the future, isn't it? We might not always understand what's going on in the here and now. But these things come into our life to test our faith, to prove that it is genuine, like metal being proved that it is pure. and that we are looking forward to all that is to come, and yet we are receiving the salvation that is to be revealed presently, in a sense. We experience God as we walk along through this life. We experience Jesus at work in us, as we were seeing a little bit in Haggai this morning, if you are here. So that's the big picture to keep in mind. And it's not easy to summarise a year. It's wonderful to see the video, isn't it? That evokes lots of memories for us. Lots of very happy memories in lots of ways, I'm sure. Reminder of the many blessings that we received from God's hand. And, you know, as I do this, obviously I have my own sort of personal experiences of last year. I don't want to read our experiences through my experiences. That's always hard to do. But, you know, God does deal with us as individuals. He deals with me as an individual, just as he deals with you as an individual. But seeking to be as objective and corporate as possible. As I said this morning, you know, last year, many, many blessings. But there were trials. There were trials for people within our church family and for us as a church family as well. I'll come to them, some of them in a moment or two. But thinking of just some particularly standout highlights over the last year. That little patch in kind of May and June that got a bit of airtime in the video, starting off with the church weekend at home when David McClay, who was a consecrated bishop of Down and Dromore yesterday, and who I'm going to see for a week tomorrow over in Northern Ireland. Maybe remember back to that weekend, sunny weekends, lots of games in the garden and things like that, but really wonderful, encouraging teaching to be just doing something, to be doing something for the Lord, very much what we're looking at in Haggai, isn't it? To just bring someone along to meet the Lord Jesus, and then going on to maturity. I think many of us were struck by that weekend, encouraged in lots of ways by David's ministry amongst us. Not long after that was the PCC away day, which maybe some of you aren't so aware of. But actually, you'll probably be aware of a number of the after effects of that day. It was a really wonderful day. Mark Pickles, the director of the Northwest Gospel Partnership, was with us for the day. There were lots of good discussions, lots of real engagement. I'm really encouraged by the way the PCC are growing together as a church council and wanting to take that responsibility, particularly my thanks to the Standing Committee and for all their support over the last year, and for Wardens Dave and now Franco was Howard, as you saw in the video as well. But we wanted to think about how we could be growing as a church family on that day, and to be thinking about some things we could do, put into practice in the life of the church. And there was a real focus on prayer, praying together particularly. A focus on those on the sort of periphery of our church family and wanting to draw them in. And just to give it a third P, a focus on partnership together, of growing in depth of love for one another. I think it's fair to say that the prayer probably has had the most airtime since then, and the other two are very much still work in progress. But that's the way of church life, isn't it? It's an organic thing, we just do as we can, as we sort of muddle on through. And then, you know, particular joy to be celebrating Johnny's ordination to the priesthood here as a church family, welcoming the bishops and Peter Harvey as well, who are now supporting financially over at Wellfield, which is another great delight that we're able to do that and support other good gospel local ministry together. But to celebrate with Johnny his ministry amongst us, and obviously a huge thanks to him and to Joe for the particular ministry that they undertake, teaching from the front amongst us. So, you know, that sort of May-June patch, you know, real highlight, real injection of lots of energy and goodness to us. And then to sort of think of some of the more long-term things over the course of the year, I've been continue to be encouraged by the women's ministry team heading that up, obviously, but also the men's side of things as well, just growing in confidence and in action as well. Encouragements both in the women's and men's, as you saw there, the Lent home groups when we split into men and women to be able to focus on different aspects of Christian living, thinking about that as men together and women together, the women's and men's breakfast that continue to be a real delight for men and women to gather together in those contexts to encourage one another, the men's getaway. It's always windy up the top of Pendle Hill, isn't it? But again, just a good time hanging out as guys together. My thanks particularly to Aaron and Dan Holden and Pete, as they've just begun to get some of these men's events and socials off the ground and just build a bit of energy there. Saturdads continues to develop on the men's side as well. So, lots of good things going on sort of from grassroots, both for adults on men and women's sides. And since September, to be welcoming the Northwest Gospel Partnership and their training course into our building here, able to offer that service for others locally, but benefiting for a number in our church family as well, obviously Claire and Emma, Dave, Laura, Pete and Sandy, able to engage with that course. And that's really exciting to see folk wanting to be trained up and to grow in that particular way as there's an opportunity. So all of these things that, are sort of gently growing away across the church family, often in sort of small, almost unseen kind of a ways. Maybe it's sort of my privilege as the vicar probably to see the most of that and to see changes that God is bringing about in us and the way we're relating to one another, the way we're talking to one another, the way we're dealing with one another. Lots of little stories of that. And it's been really necessary, hasn't it? Because there have been hard times. Obviously, probably foremost in our minds, being with Lynn, walking through all that's gone on with Otis and Felix, and the great challenges of that. And I've been hugely encouraged by Lynn's response in particular to that. But also just many across the church family seeking to support Lynn and Bethan and Rich as they've had opportunity. But maybe that's been the one that most people have been aware of. But, across the church family, the usual things that go on in church families are illnesses and accidents, issues at work, mental health issues, family issues, relationship issues, financial issues, all those things that do affect us. But I don't know, there maybe just been a bit more than the average for us as a church family. And it's good to be aware of that. It's good to acknowledge that and allow one another to say these things. And just a reminder, we've seen in Haggai, haven't we, that the people were getting on the work and then the opposition built up and the work ground to a halt. We do have opposition, don't we? We have spiritual opposition to the work of the gospel, to the growth of the church here. He is at work seeking to stop us. Just have a listen to some of the evening sermons in Job if you want to hear a little bit more about that that's underway at the moment. He's real. He acts. He wants to trip us up. He wants to stop us. He wants us to grind to a shuddering halt as a church family. And it's been wonderful to see folk persevering, pressing on together, not being wrong-footed by some of that opposition too badly. Even in the midst of tough times and really hard things that people have walked through, they're trials, aren't they? They refine us, that hurts, but it does grow us as well, and grows us together as we help and support one another through that. God works for the good of those who love him in all things, in the trials as in everything else. I'm just going to hand over to Claire briefly, just for a little sort of financial review, and an early one, and we'll hear more at the APCM obviously, but just over to you for a little bit, Claire.
Hi, thanks very much. So this is just a quick review of our finances for the year, and I'm happy to answer any questions from anyone afterwards to try and keep it quick. So these are the headline figures for our finances. So our income, which covers everything, all the stuff the church family gives, as well as stuff from the church hall rentals. If James does weddings and funerals and gets some money from that, that includes all our income, £9,334. And expenditure, all our outgoings, 160,885. So you can see that we spend a lot more than we have coming in. And I predicted at the start of the year that we'd overspend by £60,000 to £70,000. And we have overspent by £63,551. And you might remember we got a large legacy a number of years ago, and we've gradually been spending down that legacy. But the balance in our bank accounts, across all our accounts at the end of the year, £208,947. So you can see by overspending by £60,000 a year, we've got sort of three more years left if we carry on at the same rate before we're in trouble. And we won't get to that stage. So looking at the change then from 2018, so our financial year runs from January to December. So comparing the last year with the previous year, we'd had a decrease in giving income, so that's everything that comes in by how people give, of 23,686. Now, that's not to be concerned too much from how we work in the family, because £20,000 of difference was we never got a legacy. So people are very generous. When they pass away, they often leave us money in their will. So in 2018, we had a legacy of £20,000 from Jean Holderness. And you might also remember in 2018, we also had the gift day for the AV system, which raised £10,197. So immediately we can be thinking, well, we're likely to be £30,000 down, and we weren't quite that much down. And that's because our church family gave an extra £2,187. So that was an increase of 4% on the previous year. So we didn't receive a legacy in 2018, we didn't receive a legacy in 2019 like we had in 2018, and we had no gift day last year, and we will be having a gift day this year. We also had a decrease in our named givers. So we record when we know individuals are giving or families are giving, we do record the number of those, and it's interesting then to see if we're expecting people to move or come to the church, how that will affect our income. And so our number of named givers, where we record money from individuals, and of course we don't necessarily know if people are giving through the plate, what number of people are giving, but most people either give through the bank or through envelopes, and then we know who their name are. So we had a decrease in the number of people giving, but those number of people giving actually were giving more, which is really encouraging, and we can be pleased about that and thankful to God for that. So this is what it looks like, how our income comes into the church. So you can see the big blue bit is the church family donations. So that's through the bank, through envelopes, through giving in the plate. And then the grey bit is from church hall lettings. So Caroline Crook runs our church hall lettings. We have a lot of regular lettings, and our church hall brings a nice lot of income into our church. We get an amount back from the government through gift aid for people who pay tax, and we record their giving. Then we can claim an amount back from the government. And James does a few weddings and funerals, and Johnny and Eddie Burns, and we get money from that. And then we get a small amounts of money through sort of ticket sales and that sort of thing at events. And then how we spend it. So our biggest amount of spend in the year is always through our parish share, which is what goes back to the diocese. And from the diocese, they pay staff wages for James and Johnny. They pay pension, that sort of thing. So parish share is sort of what we can think of as giving us James and Johnny, and funds some of the training courses that the diocese do and all the staff at the diocese. So that's always our biggest expense for the year. Then we'll have the light blue bit, which is a good proportion, is the wages of Shell, and was Katie, and also Beth, and also if we pay for organists that come in, that sort of thing, and the pensions for our staff, for Katie, Beth, and also for Shell, that covers their pensions as well. Then the green portion is sort of maintenance and repairs. And all the other things are sort of split around church and event running costs, so that's all the things that we put on at the church. The grey bit, heating, rates, gas, the everyday stuff. and we spent more on our mission partners this year, because we always try to give a 10% away of what we spend on ourselves to our mission partners. We've never achieved that before, and we did achieve that this year due to our mission committee being very vigilant in making sure we account for things and properly give our money away. And then a blue box there for sort of the boring things, fees, insurance, phones, that sort of thing. So because we're spending more than we get in, what would we need to do to break even? Well, our weekly expenditure is £3,161. That's what it costs every week on a Sunday. When you're sitting here, you can think that this is costing £3,161. So it's a lot of money every week to sit in this church pew. Our weekly collections received £1,101, and we need to increase our weekly collections by £1,222. We don't need to make up that whole difference because we get a nice lot of income from our church hall, but we need to make up the difference if we carry on spending as we are. So effectively, whatever we give now, we need to double it if we want to break even and if we want to carry on funding mainly the wages, which is where we have options, you know. So we pay for Beth and we sort of pay out wages every week. We pay for Shell. That's the sort of thing that we've got to think. If we don't cut down or if we don't get more money coming in, those are the sort of things that we're going to have to be doing out without, which is a huge sacrifice. So looking at the number of givers that we have then, each giver would need to increase by £21. And that's, you know, would be far too much of an ask for some people. Some people would love to give that much and there's no way they can afford it. And some people give far more than that already. And God's abundantly blessing us through that. So some really good news in that our church giving has increased, even though the number of givers has decreased. And things are hopeful. We've got ways to look at managing it through this year. And that's what we'll be doing. Thanks very much.
Brilliant. Thanks, Claire and Jeff and Chris as well, who do the bulk of our finances, and a number of others help with that as well. I just wanted Claire to share the highlights or the sort of draft, the essence of what is going on. As she said, if you want to speak more to her later, that's do grab her later. The APCM at the end of April is the time when we really sort of go through the accounts. But I wanted us to have those things in mind. But before I come back to them in the second half, another big change, obviously, this year, sort of Claire's implicitly referred to it there, is that this year we said goodbye to Katie Johnson, or Katie Williams as she is now, obviously that was a sad thing after her 3 years with us, ministering amongst us, and really building up the work amongst children and young people for us as a church family. But wonderfully, it was a sort of revolving door, and we said goodbye to Katie and said hello to Beth. And thanks, Beth, if you're listening to this later, for looking after the children this evening, since she is our children's worker. So it's been great to welcome her in, and she's really stepped into Katie's shoes and continued things. I expect many haven't really noticed sort of any kind of dip in enthusiasm and energy, and many thanks to all those who serve amongst our young people and children in so many ways, because it's, you know, a continued steady growth. If you look at the figures in our book, number of children Sunday by Sunday are up at least on average 5 a week or so. A number of them, particularly at this time of year, are year 5s who are joining us, joining the Trekkers group. Some of them probably with an eye to trying to get into Archbishop Temple School and those kind of things. But, you know, that's where we are. We want to acknowledge that, the opportunity that is to be welcoming them, their parents, into our church services Sunday by Sunday, and wanting to take care of them and to be sharing the Lord Jesus with them in every way that we can. It's a particular opportunity. It does present a little bit of a challenge as well, just in terms of, you know, 20 kids in Trekkers last week, I think. So, you know, that's a lot of children for Beth and Laura and whoever else is leading to be caring for. Obviously, Jam Club is back up and running as well. That was another sort of re-initiative last year. So our Bible Club over in school, XDB continues to sort of serve that particular age group of years 6 to 8 as well. And I think it's fair to say that both groups maybe are smaller than they've been in the past, but that's not necessarily a bad thing, because I think in terms of sort of spiritual vitality and opportunity, there's probably more engagement in both those groups than we've had before with them. So sometimes, you know, it's quality, not quantity, that really counts in ministry. And so we continue to pray for that. And I was hugely encouraged just at the end of last year by the quiz that sort of XDB put on, and invited lots of others of us too to join in with as a church family. And that was a really happy and a great time, and chance to invite more folk along to another event at that time of year. So, well, there's a bit of a look back. I'm sure I've missed lots of things that you've been thinking of, but I think as a church family, it's some of the things that we want to be bearing in mind before we begin looking forward to the year ahead. So let's pause for a song again at that point before we launch into a little bit of 2020 vision. And so let's stand and commit ourselves once again to God, that we have a wonderful mediator, the Lord Jesus, who means we can access God's presence whenever we want. So let's stand and sing together. So we dare to look forward, and looking forward to 2020. But I think some of the things I'm going to say today, a bit like as we look back, there's organic growth that happens in some ways piecemeal, in some ways that we expect, in some ways that we don't expect, sometimes slower, sometimes quicker. Some of these things I think are going to be slow burners, for not just for 2020, but maybe for a couple of years, hopefully for a couple of years beyond that. But as we just start this, I wanted to remind us of a couple of verses from last week in the morning in Haggai as well. So this was Haggai chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. But now be strong, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord, and work. For I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. This is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. Be strong, be strong, be strong, and work. And do not fear, for I am with you, and my spirit remains among you. And if you were here last week, you may remember me saying how the Lord Jesus fulfills that for us, doesn't he? But also speaks those words in a new way to us at the end of Matthew's Gospel. I am with you to the very end of the age, he says to his people. And so go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. Be strong in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the grace that he has given us. Be about his work, the gospel work, the work of the kingdom, as we sing in that Hear the Call of the Kingdom song. The work of building Jesus' body, building the church, building the people of God. Disciple making in every sense, us growing as disciples and being disciple making disciples, those who share the Lord Jesus with others around them, that they might become disciples too in the sovereignty of God. Being faithful with the work that God has given us to do as a church family, loving him, sharing Christ with our community here in Ashton. Through the trials, through the tests of our faith. And some of them come at the very individual level, some come at the church level, don't they? And it's becoming an elephant in a room, isn't it, with the finances. You know, thanks for all Claire shared there, but I think it would be remiss not to put them maybe a little more front central in the thinking of us as a church family. Maybe it's because we're nearing the 200,000 bracket, and if you know, £150,000 of that legacy left to us by David Coles. I was looking at the dates. I first heard about it nearly 5 years ago, towards the beginning of 2015. The money arrived towards the end of 2015, and we put £150,000 of that into a sort of high interest account to seek to do something with that, and probably during the course of this calendar year, I think it's right to say that we'll need to break into that. And that to me is a sort of a sort of bit of a watershed moment for us as a church family. We've been spending that money, But we've been doing that deliberately. This isn't a surprise to the PCC. This is decisions that the PCC have been taking to spend that money, to be particularly investing in ministry. So, you know, an awful lot of that money has gone in paying our staff over the last few years. Not just me, particularly, but other staff who we've employed. So particularly, I guess, from Dan and Geraldine's time, with Katie, with Shell, and with Beth as well. We've sought to be generous to give that 10% away, and it's great that we finally got there. We've not quite done that for one reason or another over the last few years, but the giving away to our mission partners has been growing. And my thanks to the Mission Committee this year for getting that in order, and also for an injection of energy into our concern for mission partners. We don't just want to be giving them money, but we want them to be much more in the focus of us. That's a way that we can build God's kingdom around the world, and a privilege that we can be involved in praying for them and supporting them in all sorts of different ways. So do be looking out for some sort of renewed energy and enthusiasm on the mission partner front as well. So we need to be sort of thinking about these things over the coming year. Please do pray for me as I lead us in this, for the Standing Committee, for PCC, as we discuss these things. Because, you know, we are going to start having to make decisions over the coming years, as Claire was saying. You know, the giving away to mission partners, well, we don't want to stop that, but we can't give away money that we don't have. We don't want to stop employing staff, but if we don't have the money, we can't pay them. Together, that's £45,000, pretty much right there, isn't it? Which would go a long way to reeling in our deficits. But we don't want to be doing those things. We want to be strong in the Lord. We want to trust him, not to fear in the face of financial sort of mountains to climb. A bit like the people weren't to fear in the face of the mountains of rubble that they were to sort out with the temple in Haggai's day. But we do need to remember that it is our responsibility. No one else is going to pay this money necessarily for us. Yes, I think, you know, once our money in our bank comes back down, I can start applying for funds and trusts, which I used to do before the huge legacy landed in our accounts. Yes, we'll, I think, have to sort of think about installing an annual gift day, not to give that money away or to be paying for a particular concern like the AV equipment, but to be addressing that deficit in our accounts. And so, as Claire said, we've got one planned for our church family at home this weekend, so the middle weekend of May, when Tim Hansen, a vicar from down in Cheshire, is going to be visiting us to teach us that day. I don't want us to panic at this point in any way, but we need to own the responsibility. And the biggest way in which we do that is by praying for it and just bringing it before God and asking him to help us to answer it, whether that's through our own giving going up, whether it's through increasing the number of giving units or named givers. I can't remember how Claire referred to it. New people coming into our church family, new established Christians joining us. So I was just thinking, sort of after I first arrived, for quite a few years, a number of established Christians from around the country sort of joined us, and God's not sort of done that so much recently. Maybe we're not praying about that as much because we've just grown a bit in size in a church family and we sort of felt a bit comfortable, and that edge has gone from us, and actually, we're not as comfortable as maybe we like to think we are. In some ways, we are quite a small church family. I mean, we are a pretty good representation of the core of our church family, aren't we? And this is about less than a half of those who would gather on a Sunday morning, numerically or so, isn't it? So we want to be realistic. We want to understand these things. We want to talk together about them as well. You know, as British people, we're not very good at talking about money. As Christians, we're not very good at talking about money. And we don't want to be talking about it the whole time. But it is something, you know, we just need to chat about. And if you've got good ideas, you know, share them with me, with Johnny, with Claire, with members of the PCC, whoever. Because, you know, over the coming days, it is going to present some challenges for us, particularly if nothing changes much. Then another area that I would love us to be thinking about is our own personal evangelism, thinking about growing the kingdom, thinking about sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with others. Those challenges of David McClay's, just do something for Jesus and just bring someone to seek to help them to meet with Jesus. And again, in the busyness of church life, in the challenges of the trials that we all walk through, it is easy for that sort of outward looking focus just to slightly lower in our priorities, drop off the radar. I'm speaking in generalities. I'm sure many here seek to share the Lord Jesus with all those around them. It was part of the fruit of the PCC Away Day to think about what David McClay was talking about in terms of daisy chaining events together, linking events one to the other. And it's been great to hear from the women how having the cake decorating evening before Christmas, then with Christmas coming, but also the pamper nights already in the diary, was a wonderful thing to be inviting folk along to. The next thing, the next opportunity to be sharing with Jesus. But I'd love for us to all be growing in our confidence. Johnny's caught me out a couple of times in my sermons, just talking about us bringing people to church or bringing people to events. That's a great thing to want to do, and it's great to invite people. But just looking for the opportunities for us as Christians out there in the world, alongside unbelievers, seeking to share Jesus. It doesn't need to be me or Johnny or whoever telling people about Jesus. We can all tell people about Jesus. We can all be getting on faithfully with that work. And if they know you, it's going to be a lot more authentic coming from you than from random vicar who you've introduced them to on a Sunday morning. So it'd be lovely to see us growing in that confidence, in that intentionality, in that investment of time. Because it takes time, it takes energy to build relationships with others. To put ourselves out there with family and friends, to put friendships, relationships on the line by sharing the Lord Jesus. I'm aware it's something I need to grow in. I don't think I'm always a wonderful model to us as a church family in this. Something that I think we all need to grow in. And I thank God for a number in our church family who are very good and natural at this. And would love us all to grow to be more like them. So I'd love to see us to be growing in those kind of areas, in that outward looking focus together. God's been very good. He's brought a number of people to know the Lord Jesus over the last 9 years or so. But actually, quite often, he's brought the people in. He's caused them to turn up of their own volition on many occasions. And we've just had the joy of sharing the Lord Jesus with them. In most churches, that's not the normal way that it happens. It's been a pretty unique thing amongst us. We are very privileged by the number of unbelievers who just keep turning up to us Sunday by Sunday. A lot of churches struggle for that. They might get as many as we get in a month, in a whole year, or even fewer. And for many, it's going out there, sharing the Lord Jesus. And just thinking as a church family, how we can encourage one another to do that. And maybe it is by making new friends, new contacts in whatever sphere of our life. Maybe it is just us as a church family getting out into our community a little bit more. I was encouraged by the way people sort of got behind the polling day sort of initiative. To be befriending people there from our local community. Christine, I think, knew everyone pretty much who walked in. Some of us maybe just knew a few people who walked in. Getting out there with the flyers. It's our community, isn't it? There are streets. There are people, in a sense, in God's eyes. In the Church of England's eyes, that's very true of me. I'm given the cure of souls of all the people who live in our parish. If that's not a responsibility, I don't know what is. And I'd love us to be more intent. Maybe that means it'd be a great thing, maybe not this year, but in years to come, to be praying for when we can go out around the houses, knocking on doors with a questionnaire or something like that. If we're struggling for fresh contacts, well, we've got to think of new ways of making fresh contacts and those kind of things. as David was saying, let's just try something. I mean, they tried all sorts of crazy things, didn't they? Giving away free pot plants and goodness knows what else. We've got a lot of ideas to run. So again, you know, our school is a wonderful opportunity. You know, Becca and I have enjoyed that particular opportunity. Our children are sadly outgrowing that now, and sort of many relationships with that, those that we've had there have sort of reached that impasse of they know what we think and we know what they think, and that kind of, you know, often comes to the end of it outside the sovereignty of God and Him working by His Spirit. It takes work, it takes being strong, it takes not fearing. And under those two, I'd love us to continue to keep the focus on prayer, as I'm probably sure you're unsurprised to hear me say. I was very struck by what I was preaching on this morning from Haggai 2. Of the people doing things, expecting God to bless them. We do a lot as a church family. For a church family of our size, numerically and financially, we do a lot. Maybe too much. Possibly. I don't know. There's something to discuss. But do we pray behind all that? Or are we just more active, expecting God to bless the good works of our hands, without actually seeking Him and pursuing Him? You know, we've even planned to do more prayer meetings. And clearly, yeah, we are praying more in a sense. But if I can put it this way, are we praying deeper? If that's an acceptable way of putting things. Praying about our finances. Praying about our personal evangelism. All the events that we've got going on. Not just in a perfunctory kind of way of ticking it off when a Wednesday morning it arrives. But actually it being on our heart and mind throughout the day, throughout the week. As it is on God's heart and minds. God has been very kind. He's blessed us in all sorts of ways. People coming to Christ, giving us £450,000. I mean, those are extraordinary blessings for a church like us to enjoy. God has dropped many things into our lap, as it were. And have we just got used to Him doing that? And we kind of expect that. That we're His chosen ones. And He just throws these wonderful gifts at us time after time after time. Have we become a bit ungrateful? Have we become a bit that we're deserving, even demanding of Him? I don't know, maybe that's being a bit harsh, but just to prompt us to think about these things. I'd love us to be growing in depth in prayer. And again, that's me. I'm an activist. I turn prayer into an activity given any chance that I can. I need to grow in these things. You need to pray that I would lead us as a church family in these things, that others visible leading in our church family would help to lead me in these things. Where I've got deficiencies, may they have strengths. But might we return to Him? That's not saying we're a long way away from Him, but it just means drawing closer to Him, doesn't it? Into the heart of God, enjoying relationship with Him, Father, through the Son, as His Spirit works within us, our roots deepening in Him. And expecting Him to be the blessing, as I was saying this morning. Maybe no one will become a Christian in St. Andrews for many years to come. It's not the be all and end all, actually. That's not the mark of faithfulness. The faithfulness is being content in Him and knowing He is the true and supreme blessing. Maybe our finances won't get sorted out. Maybe we'll have to stop employing people and stop giving money away. I don't know what's going to happen. God does. But even that's not a disaster. It's not the end of the world. Because it might cause us to be more content in Him. It might cause us to do less in terms of our programs and activities. But it might humble us. And it might draw us ever closer to Him. And who knows, maybe that's what we need a little bit of. Maybe we have become a bit proud in some sense as a church family. And I look into my own heart. I know my own tendency to this. I love telling other ministers what a success St. Andrews has been in my time here. I want a bit of glory for myself. I
don't always want all the glory to go to God. And who knows? Well, I know. I need a bit of humbling every now and then. And who knows how God will do that? Who knows how God will refine us as a church family with some of these challenges that we face? And yet in the midst of that, we cling to him because we know that he is the one who makes us strong. He is the one who gives us the grace to work. In our weakness, his strength is shown. In our foolishness, his wisdom is shown. We need not fear as we face the future, but we can trust and in him. And trust as we seek to walk faithfully with him, as Peter said, we will receive the end result of our faith, the salvation of our souls. That's not just about the future, but it's about the here and now as well. So as we look forward to 2020, we want to be realistic. We want to face some of the challenges. We want to see the enormity of the task, that it is too much for us in some senses, because that will bring us back to God. And hopefully it will ground us in our relationship with him, in our prayerfulness, in our longing for other people to come to know him, and in our generosity of heart with all that we have, including our finances. Well, Johnny's going to lead us in prayer now. Thanks, Johnny.